Oh, hello everybody. I'm very delighted to be able to talk here at this workshop. And as you see, I slightly changed the title of my presentation, in which I will come back to some points that were already mentioned by George and Alessandro in the morning. So if we look at the FAIR principle, findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable data, so you have the option to spell out all the rules connected to these principles, or which I will do here is to try to capture the spirit. And well, the spirit is, of course, you want to have data that have persistent storage. You want researchers that have rights and permissions to use the data, and researchers need to understand the data, and data should allow for interoperability. In order to reach these goals, you need a decent IT infrastructure, you need, well, licenses and laws, and, well, for the other points, you need ontologies. This is the point I want to pick up here. Ontologies are tailor-made for the organization of massive amounts of data, for the integration of data from diverse sources, for coping with a highly complex domain, to support automatic reasoning and to increase searchability. But now, not all ontologies are equal. On the one hand, you have reference ontologies, which use generic top-level ontologies, or which come as domain ontologies for certain domains of reality. They are benchmarked by reality, and they need to become community standards. On the other hand, there are application ontologies, which are tailored for certain applications. Well, often they do not even aim at being semantically adequate. For them, well, it's often more important that it works than that it is true. So a lot of application ontologies are very idiosyncratic in nature. So what I want to talk about are reference ontologies here. And only reference ontologies solve the data silo problems and sustain interoperability because they are a community standards, because they are not idiosyncratic. They allow the combination of data from diverse sources. And how do they do that? They are shared community-based standards. They come with a strict user-understandable semantics, and they come with a formal computer-processable characterization. So if we ask what are reference ontologies good for, we can say, well, they do all these good things by providing a rigid data semantic shared across domains and applications, allowing for interoperability. At the moment, ontologies in the digital humanities are still at the very beginnings. There are the big standards like CIDOC CRM, which we heard about today. There is RDA, resource description access from the library world. And there are many small domain ontologies around. From my own area of philosophy, there's INFO, the Indiana Philosophy Ontology, and Philonto. Well, Philonto has the advantage to be principle guided, but it has the disadvantage to be still a fragment on the level of a proof of concept. While INFO aims at covering the whole domain of philosophy, but is not principle guided, so there is still work to do. If you look at DH textbooks, there are several textbooks like the one by Kurz, which do not mention ontologies at all. There are some that mentioned them in passing, but at least mentioned them. And then there are, I know at least one by Rebine and colleagues, which deal with ontologies, but not yet on the current standards that has been achieved in the life sciences. Now, in the life sciences, ontologies in general and reference ontologies in particular are a very important thing. You know, there's the Open Biological and Biomedical Ontologies Foundry. There are top domain ontologies like Biotop, and there are development guidelines like the Good Ontology Design Guideline. If you look at the Open Foundry homepage, there are nearly hundreds of ontologies, not all of the same quality, but that proves the importance of ontologies in the life sciences. There are gold practice rules set up as community standards in the Open Foundry, and among these rules is, for example, the use of rigorous semantics of orthogonality, so each class should be dealt with exactly one reference ontologies, and other ontologies that need this term should refer to that ontology. There's a hierarchical organization of ontologies with a common top-level ontology at the top, which is, in this case, a BFO, the basic formal ontology, and they use a set of common formal relations, which used to be the relation ontology, but which is now introduced into the new standards of BFO2. And if you need an application ontology, the strategy is to import, to reuse classes from the existing reference ontologies. So yeah, there are tools to find ontologies, repositories like the Open Foundry itself, or platforms like the Ontology Lookup Service, or OntoB, or the bioportal thing, which was mentioned in the morning. You have these tools that allow you to find terms for classes within these ontologies. This is allowed by the Ontology Lookup Service and OntoB. And then there are standards to integrate terms like myriad, the minimum information to reference and external ontology terms. And there is even a tool to do so, OntoFox, that does the work for you. You don't have to do that by hand. So for the future of DH ontologies, my vision would be to have an open platform for sociocultural ontologies that we need in the digital humanities, that we have mid-level ontologies for the sociocultural domain, a kind of socio-top ontology, and that we have tools to integrate the existing standards like CIDOC, CRM, into this new world of DH ontologies. So this is my vision, and like a lot of visions, I need allies to realize it. And if you are interesting to join the project to set up such a platform for DH ontologies, drop me an email and we can coordinate how to go on with the project. Thank you very much.